This recording is from the ACA World Convention that was held virtually in May of 2021. The ACA World Service Organization is grateful to all who contributed to making this convention happen, as well as to all who participated. ACA is an anonymous program. Please respect the anonymity of those that participated in the event. To learn more about the ACA Fellowship, please visit us online at adultchildren.org, where you can find information for newcomers, as well as free literature for download. Information about doing service in the ACA Fellowship can be found at acawso.org and acawsoec.org. To purchase literature or to make a Seventh Tradition contribution, please go to shop.adultchildren.org. We hope you enjoy the following recording from the 6th Annual World Convention, Global Recovery, in May 2021.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and a warm welcome to our ACA community all around the globe to this 6th Annual ACA World Convention and our second one fully online. My name is Martin, I'm a recovering adult child, I'm calling from UK, although I've done all my growing up in Poland. This session is Meeting My Inner Child Through Creativity, and our main speaker is Maciej. But before we get to him, I will just run quickly through some housekeeping stuff, and Maciej also asked some people from Polish Fellowship to read the standard meeting text like program solution, etc. Anonymity, please be sure to rename yourself in the participant screen, showing your first name, last name, initial. Please remember our spiritual principle of anonymity at this meeting slash workshop is being broadcast around the world and also will be recorded on audio and distributed later. We therefore ask you do not record any audio, video or pictures of the AWC. We also ask that you do not share the link to this conference. Each member should request their own access to the AWC. This is so they can acknowledge our commitment to trying to protect the personal anonymity of AWC attendees. During the meeting, only the active speakers will be unmuted. Video, microphone and chat will generally be disabled for all viewers. This is to ensure a safe listening experience for all. Some meetings may ask for sharing or for volunteers to do a reading. To request to speak, please use the raise hand feature in the participant screen at that time. You will be unmuted when it is your turn to speak. The chat feature might be open for viewers to pose questions or otherwise interact in the meeting via this function. Please remember that what you hear at this meeting should remain at the meeting. We do not talk about another person's story or experiences to other people. Please respect the anonymity of all those who share with us today. And we do not cross-talk during the sharing time. Cross-talk means interrupted, referring to or commenting on what another person has said during the meeting. We also don't distract from the person sharing. Distracting means doing anything other than paying full attention to the person speaking. In an online meeting, this also includes background noise, which can happen if you're not muted or your video is switched on and there is activity going on around you. We meet to share the experience we had as children growing up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional home. That experience infected us then, and it affects us today. By practicing the 12 steps, focusing on the solution and accepting the higher power of our understanding, we find freedom from the effects of alcoholism and other family dysfunction. We identify with the problem and learn to live in the solution one day at a time. Please join me in opening our meeting with the ACA Serenity Prayer in whatever language or ways calls you heart. Proszę, użyć mi pogody ducha, abym akceptował tych, których nie mogę zmienić, odwagi, abym zmieniał tego, kogo mogę zmienić, i mądrości, abym zrozumiał, że tym, kim jestem ja.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Hi, my name is Alex. I'm an adult child. I live in the UK, but I'm originally from Poland. So I would like to read the problem now. The problem. Many of us found that we have several characteristics in common as a result of being brought up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional household. We had we had come to feel isolated and uneasy with other people, especially authority figures. To protect ourselves, we became people pleasers, even though we lost our own identities in the process. All the same, we would mistake any personal criticism as a threat. We either became alcoholics or practiced other addictive behavior ourselves, or married them, or both. Failing that, we found other compulsive personalities, such as a workaholic, to fulfill our sick need of abandonment. We lived life from the standpoint of victims. Having an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, we preferred to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. We got guilt feelings when we stood up for ourselves rather than giving in to others. Thus, we became reactors rather than actors, letting others take the initiative. We were dependent personalities, terrified of abandonment, willing to do almost anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to be abandoned emotionally. Yet we kept choosing insecure relationships because they matched our childhood relationship with alcoholic or dysfunctional parents. These symptoms of the family disease of alcoholism or other dysfunction made us co-victims, those who take on the characteristics of the disease without necessarily ever taking a drink. We learned to keep our feelings down as children and kept them buried as adults. As a result of this conditioning, we confused love with pity, tending to love those who could rescue. Even more self-defeating, we became addicted to excitement in all our affairs, preferring constant upset to workable relationships. This is a description, not an indictment. Thank you. I'm sorry, I was very nervous.
Thank you for being of service, Alex. And I'm calling for Alexandra K to raise your hand so we can unmute you. Can someone unmute Alexandra for me? Alexandra K.
Hi, it's Eileen. I have the slides up, but I'm not a co-host. So if you want to make me co-host, I can share the screen with the slides.
Well, it's not necessary because Maciek isn't really prepared out of presentation as such, so it's okay. Don't worry.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. This is Alexandra. I'm an adult child from Poland. I will read the solution. The solution is to become your own loving parent. As ACA becomes a safe place for you, you will find freedom to express all the hurts and fears you have kept inside and to free yourself from the shame and blame that are carryovers from the past. You will become an adult who's imprisoned no longer by childhood reactions. You will recover the child within you, learning to accept and love yourself. The healing begins when we risk moving out of isolation. Feelings and buried memories will return. By gradually releasing the burden of unexpressed grief, we slowly move out of the past. We learn to reparent ourselves with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. This process allows us to see our biological parents as the instruments of our existence. Our actual parent is a higher power whom some of us choose to call God. For dysfunctional parents, our higher power gave us the 12 steps of recovery. This is the action and work that heals us. We use the steps, we use the meetings, we use the telephone. We share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. We learn to restructure our sick thinking one day at a time. When we release our parents from responsibility for our actions today, we become free to make helpful decisions as actors, not reactors. We progress from hurting to healing to helping. We awaken to a sense of wholeness we never knew was possible. By attending these meetings on a regular basis, you will come to see parental alcoholism or family dysfunction for what it is, a disease that infected you as a child and continues to affect you as an adult. You will learn to keep the focus on yourself in the here and now. You will take responsibility for your own life and supply your own parenting. You will not do this alone. Look around you and you will see others who know how you feel. We will love and encourage you no matter what. We ask you to accept us just as we accept you. This is a spiritual program based on action coming from love. We are sure that as the love grows inside you, you will see beautiful changes in all your relationships, especially with God, yourself, and your parents. Thank you.
Thank you for being of service, Ola. And now I'm calling for Grażynka to raise your hand so we can unmute you. You can unmute.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Grażyna, born in Poland, made my home in London. At the moment, I'm half a year in Tenerife. I'm going to read the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over the effects of alcoholism or other family dysfunction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand God. Four, made a certain and fierce moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry it out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others who still suffer and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Twelve traditions. Our commonwealth welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on ACA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership in ACA is a desire to recover from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional family. Four, each group is autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or ACA as a whole. We cooperate with all other 12-step programs. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. Six, an ACA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, adult children of alcoholics should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, ACA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, adult children of alcoholics has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the ACA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, films, and other public media. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you for being of service, Grazinka. And now, just one more slide. You might have related to our readings, even if there was no apparent alcoholism or addiction in your home. This is common because dysfunction can occur in a family without the presence of addiction. We welcome you. In the beginning, many of us could not recognize or accept that some of our current attitudes or behaviors result from some experience related to alcoholism or dysfunction in our childhood. We behave as adult children, which means we bring self-doubt and fear learned in childhood to our adult interactions. By attending meetings regularly and actively working the ACA program, we come to know and begin to act as our true selves. What you hear at this meeting should remain at this meeting. We do not talk about another person's story or experiences to other people. Please respect the anonymity of all of those who share with us today. And now, without further ado, I will let Maciek take over the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. Can you hear me? Just to double check.
Yes, we can.
Okay. So thank you, everyone, for helping with reading the text and the service and basically just being here. I will be reading something from what I wrote earlier, and then I'll let the power to take over. So hello, my name is Maciek, and I'm an adult child. I will start with saying that it's an honor to speak at this event, and I'm really grateful for everyone that has helped me run and organize this event, and for all the speakers and all of the other children that join us. I will start briefly by sharing my story. So my father is an alcoholic, and my mother is codependent. I have one brother. He's also an adult child, but he's not in that problem, and that's okay. I was the responsible one in my family. It was my role to bring him grades from school or to behave properly. No matter how hard I tried or how good grades I got, it was never enough for my mother. I was told that I am not good enough, that I had to try harder, achieve more, and always keep myself, never to stop and rest.
Maciej, can I just interrupt for a minute? There is some people saying that if you could speak a bit louder because some of...
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sure. Now okay, better? Maciej.
Yeah, that's better.
okay. Sorry. So I also felt that somehow it was me who was responsible to give the love to my father and not the other way around. So to take care of him when he was drunk, to talk with him, to make a connection. And for this, I was bullied by and abused physically and emotionally by both my mother and my brother. I was abandoned by the people closest to me in my own family, by my father through his alcoholism and by my mother through abuse and neglect. I couldn't receive any comfort from him. And when I went to my mother, she used to say, "Now go to your drunk father." With the tone and the look that to this day brings me chills and a ton of shame. I dealt with it in the best way I could at the time. So I stuffed my feelings deep down and I swore to myself never to become like my parents and not to have any addictions. I was wrong. As a matter of fact, I hit my bottom when I was struggling isolation and drug addiction. I knew I couldn't go on like this, and I am clearly getting worse and in need of help. I went into my first meeting 3 years ago to a Polish-speaking group in London. It was called New Hope. And now in English, it sounds so profound and so great, and it truly is a new hope. I felt an immediate connection with what I heard during the meetings and during the shares. I felt that I'm no longer alone with this, that there are some similar people with me, that they have almost exact struggles and thinking patterns, and they knew how I felt. And I never had that connection with the people close to me or my family. We never talked about our feelings. We never shared. We never, there were three rules. Don't talk, don't feel, don't, sorry, I'm quite nervous, so I forgot, but anyhow. During those first meeting, I got a sponsor and I started working on the steps. We are moving slowly but surely. And during the process, I began to open myself to my feelings. I started sharing during meetings a bit more, and they were more intimate and they were more closer to the problem and to what I was dealing with at the time. So the program was working slowly, but I was told by my sponsor that it's a slow process, that I have to trust it and just go with it. So I did. Also, my sponsor mentioned that the service during the recovery is tremendously helpful, and it turned out true for me as well. I started first with simple tasks like helping with setting up the meetings, moving the chairs out, and then I ran my first meeting, which was really, really nervous experience. And my heart was racing. My heart was like pounding from my chest. But it was really a great one, because I knew and I found out how much I can get from it and how much more I can give to other people. So in that, in retrospect, I learned that I wanted to ask for help, but I couldn't do it. But now even the simple things like, who can read text, who can read the problem or solution, that's already asking for help. And receiving that help, especially now, I know that some of the people who I asked to help with reading the text agreed, and I received the help from them. It really brought me calmness, because I was quite nervous before the speaker meeting, especially with the technical issues at first. But it really brought a sense of calm into me, that I knew that here are the people who I know really well, and they are here to help. So after some time, I think maybe a year and a half, I finished the step, and I was helping one of people with some translation of questions from long-release workbook. And turned out that the person who was in the meeting was already a coordinator of translation committee. So I began, I started the service of translator in the committee. And I guess a year later, I was chosen by Intergroup to be a coordinator alongside Ola, which also to the text as well. And I can honestly say that it's one of the most profound and most eye-opening and really a great experience to work with the text and to translate it to the native tongue, Polish. So after I finished steps, I had doubts, obviously, if I done them correctly, if they were properly done. So I was still trying to search for either a redo or to get more into the steps than when I first did it. I met my inner child for the first time when I read the suggestion in the Big Red Book about writing a letter. So I wrote, I'm going to take care of you, I'm your for you, just all the supportive messages that you can go and say to your child that was left alone, and just to make any contact, basically. And he responded after a while, of writing right hand and non-dominant hand. And we went on walks. We had fun. We danced. He also, I found out that he also likes to write poetry, which is weird for me personally, because as an adult, I never liked Polish, which is funny because I work, I do a service in the translating community, but I'm still learning as well. But it was tremendous fun. And personally, I was doing some drawing, and we were drawing Higher Power. And I have the experience of having been studying graphic design. And there was a subject during that course, printmaking course. And for me, it turned out to be one of the most, one thing that I actually fell in love with. So from the first class, I felt free. I felt that it's the place where I belong, and it's something that really makes me feel good about myself and what I do. So I was continuing to do that after my studies. And recently even I had a counseling session, and we spoke about actually this particular topic, and it turned out that during the process of creative process that I had, there are a lot of needs that I fulfill. For example, a need for freedom, a need for creative expression, for fun, for all of those great things. And I'm saying that because I had trouble sometimes writing my inner child, especially when I was going into relapse, and I wasn't attending meetings. I felt somehow that I'm abandoning my inner child, and I felt so much shame, and there were so many hard feelings and guilt feelings and shame feelings. They weren't really pleasant, and I couldn't, without reaching for help, without going to meetings, I couldn't actually do it myself. So I was trying to somehow lessen the pain of the feeling. And it turned out for me that changing the perspective, changing the thinking, when I print, when I draw, when I do something creative, it actually, I think now I change my thinking to a way that I can say I'm connecting with my inner child, because I'm feeling all those needs, right? And fulfilling them. And it cannot be just simply something that I do, I don't know, as a job, or let's say as something. There's more to it. And I only found out recently, which was actually, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. So it's still a new discovery for me, and I'm still learning a lot. But for me, that process and the whole from start to finish, or even drawing, or even simple act of not being judged, not being judgmental about it as well. Because I found out that it's creativity, it's also a great tool for reparenting. As for example, when I draw previously, before the STEP program and before I attended, I was really critical towards myself, not only in a way of what I made or what I did, it's just in general towards my contact with people, towards how I behave. I was critical all over the place. And I found out that stopping at least in this creative process, not judging, not even saying if it's nice, if it's bad, whatever it is, it's just it. So it kind of opened me up, and it allowed me to be more calm and more relaxed when I'm doing. So it's not I'm pushing myself. It's more of the way that I'm actually going against the critic, that I'm actually relaxing doing that and not not pushing myself more, or just those gentle messages that it's okay, it's fine. That's the one. And on the same topic, it's with the reparenting. Head and nerves. I'll just start speaking with something that come up. I'm quite nervous. So as I said, it's for me the creative process was a way to start reparenting myself as well, because I never done it, and there weren't any comforting or parenting even done in my childhood. So I didn't have any examples that I can use from my parents, to good examples. So I had to read books, whether it was about how to raise a child, because I thought somehow that if I want to parent my inner child, I have to have some knowledge how to communicate a supportive message to my inner child. And I found out that the creative process for me, it's a way to connect with my inner child and to have fun as well, to open myself a bit to other people about it, to show, to teach it as well. It gives, as I said before, I think I'm really lucky as well that I just hit it spot on, and it fills a lot of my needs for support, and as I said, the creative aspect of it. I can go back, maybe backtrack, because I went kind of off topic, because when I was a child, I was a really creative person, and I was dancing, I was singing, actually, and previous meeting, the song made me so emotional, and I kind of now remember the previous AWC from 2 years ago in Malmo, where there was songs at the end, and the emotions that came up with me at that time are actually coming up with now, but I'm really grateful for this community, for program, for the step of reparenting, for taking the first step, and, going into recovery, and trying my best to redo it and try to do it every day and take care of myself. So even during COVID times, I tried to even reparent myself for even the simplest tasks, like sleeping well, or taking care that I eat proper meals. That for me at first was a challenge, but now it's getting easier and easier with each day step. So yeah, it's kind of I think I kind of went all over the place, and I have now my inner critic is saying that maybe it's not as structured as I want it to be, but I guess I'll have to just deal with that and be okay with it. So I think we can open to questions if there is any, and I can try to answer them my best to. So I'm not sure if...
I see a question from Carla L. I will ask her to unmute. Oops.
Yeah, this is my very first meeting with ACA. And I noticed you said creativity was a good tool for your reparenting. Could you go into more detail how that helped you? I've always thought of myself as a creative person, and this might be a good place for me to start because I feel at a loss even where to begin with. It's kind of mind-boggling for me at this point. So if you could provide further detail, I would appreciate it.
I'll try to answer that. So the reparenting in creativity or in creative process means that I'm not being judgmental towards what I do or what I create. Or I have a small sketchbook where I draw something with my left hand, and I don't even say if it's good or bad, or I don't put any label on. As I said before, it just is, and it's only for me to view. It's nobody will ever see, because I'll make sure of that. But in a way that it's personal to me. That's kind of what I mean about reparenting. Because I had the experience where I was really critical against whatever I did, whether it was painting in school, whether it was drawing in school, whether I had I wanted to do something on my own or in my own time as a hobby, and I was really critical. And even if I were praised, I was always like saying no, it's really bad. Please don't be so nice, you know. So. I'm trying to stop the voice and just be in the moment when I create. So that's what creativity allows me to do, to actually live one step at a time, and not focus on anything else. So for me, it's a way to actually live a program and live as I said, one step at a time.
So what do you draw or create? If I get a sketchbook and begin this, do you draw how you're feeling? Do you try to draw some kind of art?
I was thinking that I would create the speaker meeting into workshop quickly. For example, even a simple line, you know, or a marker with a marker, or you know, a piece of hand sticking a paint. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's just the process that kind of allows to open up. So even the Beauty Grad book suggests to go into different ventures to connect with inner child. Whether it's just not the non-dominant hand and dominant handwriting. Because for me, it turned out to be actually an inner critic kind of took it over, and every time I forgot or I didn't do it or I didn't like, I didn't feel like doing it, I was beating myself down, saying that you should write, you should, etc., etc., etc. So for me, when I was doing creative process, switching my thinking about it into a way that it's a way of connecting with inner child, it's really eye-opening and brings a sense of calmness to me. Because then my inner critic cannot say anything about it, because it's something that I can enjoy, and I can enjoy with my inner child as well.
Okay, we've got Omar M. You can unmute now.
Hey, hi. Thanks for your story. I can relate to it a lot. Maybe like a couple of days ago, I thought that I connected with my inner child for the first time. And it was more like I came to the realization that like a little person, you know, the little me, you know, that I basically never listened to. No, never. And I guess my, you know, the persona that I developed, you know, was only busy, you know, with surviving and trying to get stuff done, you know. And I think for me, it started like when I was like, maybe 5 or 6, you know, and I don't remember like like drawing and all these other things. And you know, it's like I'm listening like in full amazement, like you're saying, you know, like your inner child like stuff that you didn't even know that you like. Like it's like a whole other person inside you that you didn't know. And I wonder how that is with me, because when I tried, you know, the non-dominant handwriting, but it's just me writing with the wrong hand. There's nothing really coming out. And, you know, I'm not, you know, I you know, I can appreciate, you know, people that are creative for, but me, I you know, I don't particularly like too much like poetry or drawing pictures or none of that. Yeah. So is this like strange? Is this like, I don't know what to think. You know, it's this inner child that I saw, you know, that I thought that I saw, that wasn't listened to. Is that it for me? Or, you know, or am I also like have to develop like some things like, I heard people say like my inner child want to go play badminton, but it's for me. It's like, is that for real? Yeah. So it's like a, yeah. Cause I really want to get well, you know, I'm ACA straight up, and I'm tired of, I have the whole laundry list and you name it. Yeah. Maybe you can give me some pointers, or can you relate to what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can. So for me, the non-dominant and dominant handwriting, sometimes it happened that I was writing with my right hand, and actually I was writing like 4 pages long, you know, and I didn't even give a time for left hand to write anything. I was just like, taking all the time for myself, not for my inner child. So I can relate to that. But I also know from my experience, it's a process. So as I said, the realization that the creative process can be a way to connect with inner child. It's written in big red book, right? But in another words, saying you can draw a picture, or you can start by doing a new hobby or something like that. But the realization came 3.5 years later. So it's the, for me, it's a process that I needed to, I know that I needed to trust, basically.
What I do know about when I was young, that, you know, I like to play sports and stuff like that. That's the only thing that I sort of, yeah. But that also became like an obsession, you know, so. But anyway, you know, thanks for your share, man, and the good work.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, there are few other hands raised, but there are also written question and answers. So we'll try to alternate between the raised hands and written question and answers. But before we go to that, Sherry, let's ask you if you have any of your art that you could show us.
Okay. I'm not sure if it's not going to be... I could show it, but I'm not sure if it's listed as a promotion, just in case, so it's not going across the traditions.
Well, I'm not really sure if it would be promotion. I think if you show me...
Okay, I can share a screen. And but I think I'm actually on the phone, so I couldn't... I cannot actually share because there's some stuff. I were on the computer, but yeah. So I can tell about it. That's the best I can do, and like really short, because I don't want to like take time for the questions. So what I do is printmaking. So it's a way. So a fancy name for making stamps. So for example, if you ink up your thumb and place it on paper, that's a print already. So it's just a matter of what do you put an ink on, and then printing, for example, same as Gutenberg printed a Bible. It's the same process. It didn't change much from that time. You can go to the question.
Okay, so now I'm going to read the question from Beth M. What are some examples of creative activities such as the letter to inner child, or what other examples you could give?
What are the examples from creative activities, right?
Yeah.
So there was a good example actually on the previous panel that the person was playing a guitar and singing a song. That's one example of creative activity. Dancing. For me personally, it's drawing and painting and printmaking. So I focus on that, but it's the way you can arrange flowers. That's also a creative task. You can make a collage out of paper or out of newspaper even, for example. So you're basically... when you do it, you don't have to go by the rules, especially if you're doing it for yourself, then it's much easier, because the only thing you're facing is actually the inner critic, and it's really then easy to find out what's his message or what's her message about it, because if I make something and I'm not contacting with anyone or waiting for approval or anything like that, and I hear a message in my head, oh, that's terrible, right? You could have done better. So I know already that it's my inner critic that's going and saying those things. So it's really good way to find the messages for myself when creating and doing something.
Okay, so now a question from Helen B. Helen, you can unmute yourself. Oh, you disappeared. Oh, there you are. Yeah, you're unmuted, Helen.
Okay, thank you. I posted in the chat, so maybe I'll just read what I wrote. I said I grew up with a Polish mom and I speak Polish and was later diagnosed with schizophrenia. I think a lot of the reason why I became that way was because of the way I was treated as a child. I know that theory isn't really accepted in conventional psychiatry, but I think there might be some validity to it. And I was wondering if anyone has any thoughts or can relate. I have been wanting to write some kind of autobiography about my experience for a long time, but I also get paranoid about it. And I feel like it's a vicious circle of sorts. And I have heard from multiple religious people actually that writing too much might be a cause of that sort of thing. And it's like unholy or something. And I had like a lot of violence and like terror from my mom growing up. And I would really like to be able to write in Polish too, actually, but I'm kind of just feel scared. So I'm just, that's just where I am right now. I'm trying to get over it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for your share.
Right, so now question, written question from Leslie O'Neill. Just read it because it was written. Do you notice your creativity has changed or your approach?
Yeah. I can say that even if I had the messages in my childhood that they were pushing me to be better, to get better, to do more and to achieve more, to be ambitious. I heard from my mother that I'm not ambitious because just I was resting or I was just sitting on the couch. So I could never rest. And I learned that during the creative process as well, I need some time off. I cannot do it 24/7. It changed in a way that I'm taking better care of myself when I create or engage in a creative process. So I leave some time off. I rest more. I'm not pushing myself, and I try to limit. Obviously, the inner critic voice for me it's still going, and still the process of getting him to get less louder. And for me, just getting the. For now, I experience that the inner critic is having a little bit less of messages, of critical messages towards me. And as I said before, due to the program and thanks to the recovery process and step work, I can now notice it a bit clearer, I'd say, and not only be not only easier, but as well earlier. So I can act and approach something differently. But it's still a process, and I trust that it's gonna change in time.
Okay, next one is Eva M. You can unmute.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yeah.
Hi, Maciej. Actually, my background's Polish, which is really funny. I'm here in Toronto. My parents were immigrants after the war, came here from Poland, my dad. Anyway, what I wanted to ask you about was, what do you find? So for me, my child is still scared because my inner critical parent is still very loud. And I'm newer to ACA. I'm not new to the 12-step program. I've been in a 12-step program for a long time, and I found a lot of healing, but it wasn't complete. And my higher power brought me to ACA because I realized I did not want to look at childhood trauma. And so the concept that has really opened my eyes is that I need to replace the inner critical parent with a loving higher power. And so my question to you is, what part does a loving higher power, or do you find a loving higher power in creativity?
Thank you for your question. It's a really good one. I was when I do something creative, I found that how can I best say that that I'm sitting in stillness, I'd say. So it goes similar to meditation. So I'm having a lot of fun, and it's really a great experience for me. And I want to compare that with dissociation. So I sometimes found myself when I was in relapse, or I was just eating my feelings, or ignoring my feelings, whether it was during the when I was using the computer or eating or whatever it was. I noticed that time was like, I was transported in time, that I could just sit that straight and didn't care about anything. So the creative process, when I do it, it's similar at the point, only with the time flying by. So in that process, I have a great fun and great experience, and actually I feel more alive. So I guess it's a way of connecting with the loving higher power as well, because then I can go through the process, and it's, as I said, it's sitting in stillness and then just having fun with it.
Okay, next one is a written question from Roxanne F. Are there specific things you do or say to yourself or to your inner child that help you eat and sleep better, to take good care of yourself in general?
The sleeping went kind of down the other way around when the COVID struck, because I usually get up at work and shop recently, like a couple of days back. So I no longer need to wake up 5 a.m. So I was waking up really early, and even the COVID situation allowed me to notice how much I was using caffeine, for example, to keep me awake and to do more. So after work, I was going straight to the training, and I was going back around 11 p.m. or 12 a.m. And I was only having 4 hours of sleep, and then back to work, and again and again and again. So I wasn't taking care of myself. And during COVID times, it switched. So I started going early to bed and early, and I wake up late. But it was more a natural process. I didn't approach it as I was saying during, for the sleeping part. For the eating, I was actually trying to communicate, because I still fail. Sometimes I just like to eat a couple of donuts, because I have sweet tooth. But sometimes also it's a way that I dissociate and I run away from my feelings. So I know that I have quite an issue there. With the eating, I try to say, okay, that's this one is quite positive for us, so we can. So it's approaching for me books that said about raising a child helped a lot, because there are some great books that have supporting messages, and I didn't have those in childhood. When I was a child, I had I had a message that no food can be wasted, so we had to even overeat just to eat it, and so there is no waste. And my mother was always, I remember one situation from my childhood, I threw out an apple, but it wasn't like eaten fully, or there was some leftovers. So my mother took it out of the trash and made me eat it. So that wasn't a pleasant experience, and it kind of changed my thinking about food loss and using all the food, and so that gives me a lot of trouble right now. So I don't know if that answers the question, but that's my experience.
Okay, next one is Jean Jay. You can unmute.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm sitting here drawing with my non-dominant hand, and I'm appreciating everything I'm hearing. And I have done solo dance performance as a younger adult, and it was a very powerful, growthful experience for me. There were times when, I mean, the thing that really drove me to do it was being in the depth of a lot of huge grief and overwhelm that came up in a relationship right out of college. I hadn't really dealt with a lot of what I'd grown up with, of course. And the only thing that I could think of to help me through the grief and the depression was the idea of putting myself out on stage alone to help myself be authentic. And I had grown up with dance, with ballet, and performance was always one place where I felt truly visible and seen and heard for who I was authentically. I'm Korean American. My parents immigrated before I was born. My mother had a very tough childhood, being the only child of a war widow. And I really can see that she was just very, very wounded and still is. So I guess I just want to share that I feel that my inner child was trying to express herself. And I found a way of doing it. I was also doing a lot of grieving through a community where it was really about expressing the emotions on a physical level. And it would bring me these awarenesses of growth. And I would put an image on stage, like a seed growing, or breaking out of a bad dream and finding peace. And I also recently heard this quote. I think it was by, I can't remember if it was Audre Lorde or maybe Toni Morrison. Anyway, it was just the idea that grieving is like being in this process of growth, of being a seed, and it's painful. It's just trying to break out of a form that's no longer useful, and it just hurts. And art is one place where I feel like I could express it, especially being witnessed by other dancers and performers who would hold the space for me and express what they saw in a very objective, non-judgmental, non-directive way. And it really was powerfully healing to be witnessed in the throes of that struggle of through that pain, trying to make sense of it, trying to feel my way through it. So what I get from this whole workshop is that our inner child speaks to us through our senses, our body, our feelings. And the more I can get in touch with that and give myself permission to express it, and perhaps even to be witnessed in a kind and loving way, the more I can bring that part of me into my life again, into my world, validate that part of me and celebrate that part of me for being a survivor and wanting to be expressed. So anyway, I also just have a tip for other people. I've done The Artist's Way, a book written by this woman who has had a lot of 12-step experience. I don't know if that's promotion, but she's pretty commonly referred to in 12-step circles. And the tool of an artist date has been very helpful. Just sometimes my creativity needs nurturing. I just need to get in touch with what my inner child wants to do, what she wants to see. I do feel kind of numb sometimes though about it. Like, I don't know what I want to do. And, you know, I'm kind of sick of the city that I live in. It's too small for me. And I feel like I see that when I like think of artist dates and nothing really excites me. But I think I'm going to try to get out today. And I mean, I'm having fun at home listening to this workshop and just stretching and moving and drawing, but getting outside in nature is also very healing. And I think I'm going to try to get out and go someplace that's interesting to me and my inner child. Thank you so much. Thank you for leading this workshop.
Thank you for your show.
Next one is a written question from Joseph C. Maciej, how do you use writing poetry if your inner child is the one who wants to write it?
Okay. So I'll go back to my first actually experience. So I went on an artist date, so into I think a gallery in London, and I was sitting and writing questions with right hand and then answering with my non-dominant hand, and my inner child started to write what he saw. For example, the lady in pink shirt. And then this painting looks a bit weird. And it was just basically plain observation. So I wasn't judging it on a way that, because I have no idea what poetry is or what is good poetry or whatever, how do you define poetry. So for me, for myself, it was poetry because it was basically his experience of the outer world and on paper. So that's how I called it. I think it's poetry, but I'm not quite sure. For me, it is. So yeah.
Okay. Next one is Tamara M. You can unmute. Something doesn't seem to be working.
There we go. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Thank you. This is really funny because I was trying to figure out how to do all this, and I had been in my daily ACA meeting on Saturday and actually ended up unmuting, or sorry, I mean, ended up figuring it all out and just coming in on the creativity. And we just read our reading for today, which was on talent. And I explained, and then I have a question about this, is that my whole life I never knew I was talented until I started teaching music to other children and then realized that how with the level that I was at as a young kid, but in my home that I think I survived, you know, as a five-year-old child, like my piano was my my saving grace, actually, because my mother was alcoholic and things were pretty crazy and violent till I was 12 and they split up and my stepmom came into the picture and then I had a wonderful life with my mom and dad after that. But anyways, so there's a lot of things that happened with the creativity and with my piano being sort of the thing that I could go to because I had a lot of, there was a lot of manipulation by the alcoholic as a child, but I could still escape, but there were things that happened that were kind of bizarre now that I think as an adult. And since I've been in ACA, I realized. So I started doing art actually in therapy when I started to deal with all these problems, which is hilarious because I never thought I could draw, but I started doodling when I was working on all the trauma and all that kind of stuff. So 10 years later, I'm full blown into my art. And I create everything. Like I cut gemstones, I do, and I'm still on a piano because that's been my career and my life and singing and all that kind of stuff. But this is more fun, right? Doing, cutting gemstones, doing silver, doing something like, so I'm so creative. But what I have a problem with, and you may be able to answer this for me, is that I'm so creative that I get angry that I don't have the symphony written that I started, and you know what? I don't have this done. And then I beat myself up because I'm doing all this art, which I love, and I like to be really playful. So that's been fantastic fun, like just fantastic. But I have this thing that I get so mad at myself, and I know it sounds weird, but it's almost like I have so much to do that I don't even have the time I have to do all the creative things that I'm doing. I do so much, and there's my question, like, how do you stop yourself from, oh, I only got 5 paintings done today, or you know what I mean? Or I didn't get that done, and I don't know. And then the criticism, right? Because it's like, you want to paint like a child, and that makes me really happy. And then I compare, and I don't know if that just comes from the discipline of growing up and being on that piano since I'm 5 years old and working so hard. But how do you deal with that? How do you deal with just shut down that whole need to like do crazy amount of creativity, like not judge yourself for not accomplishing it?
So for me, from my experience, I had the same phase. I'd say I was, let's say, overproducing, and I had to express something, and I still have a need to do that. But now I take more time with it, meaning that I'm more at ease, but it's still a process, so I cannot really pinpoint the tipping point when it happened or when I started thinking differently about it. But I think it's just for me it was the reparenting process that came into it. So saying to myself, oh, I didn't print 20 copies or whatever. And that's okay. Maybe I had a bad day. Maybe I was quite tired from yesterday's work, and that's okay. Maybe I need to rest. And then there's self-care that's coming into that place. So asking myself questions, not to increase productivity. That's something wrong with me, so I have to take care of myself to produce more. It's just... I look at it as a signal that maybe I'm pushing myself too hard on this one. Maybe I need to take a step back and actually rest. So as I said before, I also still have a problem with resting. So taking time for myself and not doing anything. And there was one day that I just sat and looked out of the window and just observed clouds for an hour. And that was like really great experience, and I honestly don't remember when I was sitting still and just doing that, not listening to music, not cleaning at the same time, not doing something creative. So taking the time to rest is crucial.
What is your self-talk? So what do you say to yourself, or what can I say to myself when I forgive myself, and like, I need to tell myself something, because it's really ridiculous that I think I have to produce like that. You know,
for me, I'd say that it's okay, basically. So that's the simplest, because for me, if I were to go into debate with my inner critic, I'm not sure sometimes if I win, meaning that if I try to give examples how to it's okay because etc etc etc, so if I go it's okay, you know, with calmness and the kind of stillness to it. And I also pray to a higher power, the Serenity Prayer. If the critic is going crazy and I go into the downward spiral with anxiety and repeating. For me, it's repeating the same thought every time and then spinning again, spinning again, spinning again. So like a recording of the same thought. So saying a prayer or just a simple thing that makes a difference.
Actually, you know what? I think you just hit it for me. I have to go back and find out where that critic came from, because I think you just hit it. And then just say it's okay. Because I just realized that I got a critic in there somewhere. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next one is written question from Jacqueline J. Do you find that your inner child is always there, always audible, or does he only merge with the creative process?
I feel him all the time. So I have these here, which are my mascots. I bought this one recently and this one. So during the reading, I was holding them together under. So I always try to, this one I bought back in Poland, and I try, for example, when I write with my left hand, with my dominant hand, I hold it in my left hand. And then when I write an answer, I just change hands. So for example, even if I don't, let's say have time, something came up and I feel the need to connect with my inner child. Now, sometimes it's just enough for me to hold the mascot, which is weird. it's just enough to kind of, hold it, grab it and say, I'm here, I think it's not only in the creative process. In the creative process, I just have fun more, I'd say. And for me, it was thinking about creative process in a different way and thinking in a way that I can actually, I am connecting with my inner child at that time. Because previously, I wasn't thinking that, I thought that it's separate. That creative process is here, and inner child and writing with non-dominant hand is here. But now they're actually like this all the time. So, yeah.
Hi, I just saw the screen. Sorry, I'm kind of enough technology-wise. Thank you so much for all your wisdom. It was so nice. I'm trying to finish a painting while I'm listening. And boy, that inner critic. Kind of like an overzealous critical parent, you just have to deal with it. And I like your, I really like those examples of, like left hand writing and, just really to get to your inner space where you actually do have some control over your thoughts, and not allowing certain things to come in, because when they do, creativity absolutely fails and dies. It's just not available. I went about 6 years without painting, and it was just because of that. So all the loss that I had during that time was just because of, not being in recovery, not really looking at how I could recover and still be creative and not be so droll and obsessed with all the past and just live in the present, because the only place I can be creative is in the present. And that means I have to boot the critical parent out of my life during that period. So thank you for everything you brought today. I really appreciate everything.
Doing service in ACA is a great way to strengthen your program. You can help carry the message and make a difference in another ACA member's life by signing up as a volunteer. If you feel called to volunteer for service, please go to the link shown on the screen and follow the prompts to complete the form, which will help you to direct you to the committee that best matches your areas of interest. Seventh tradition. Our seventh tradition states every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. We ask that you consider making a seventh tradition contribution at the link shown on the screen, where you will find a variety of ways you can make your contribution. We are delighted to announce new functionality and more options have been added on this seventh tradition link, so you can now donate in your local currency in a variety of ways, such as credit card, PayPal, Venmo, JCB, Diners Club, Google, and Apple Play. Thank you. And I read the promises. First, we will discover our real identities by loving and accepting ourselves. Second, our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. Third, fear of authority figures and the need to people please will leave us. Fourth, our ability to share intimacy will grow inside us. Five, as we face our abandonment issues, we'll be attracted by strengths and become more tolerant of weaknesses. Sixth, we will enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. Seventh, we will learn how to play and have fun in our lives. Eight, we will choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. Nine, healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. 10, fears of failures and success will leave us as we intuitively make healthy choices. 11, with help from our ACA support group, we will slowly release our dysfunctional behaviors. 12, gradually with our higher powers' help, we learn to expect the best and get it. And announcements, please check the ACAWSO.org website for information about the MP3 recordings for this event. The website details have been added to the chat. The next two workshops are, I don't remember, but top of my head is 12 steps, the secular way. And the other one is, I believe, beginner's guide to traditions. And the closing. Thank you everyone who shared today, as well as to all those whose service helped to make this worldwide ACA World Convention come together. I don't know if we'll now be unmuted to join each other in saying it together. Please join me in closing our meeting with the ACA Serenity Prayer in whatever language or way calls your heart. Proszę. Może się pogodę
do. God, grant us serenity to accept the things that cannot change, courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know that one is me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maciek, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and for getting me out of my comfort zone. And
thank you.
Walk behind the scenes to make it possible.
Come and steal. Thank
ACA
you.
Fellowship doesn't sleep. Thank you all. Take care.
Thank you, Maciel.
Thank you, Maciej. Thank you for the speak. It's Frederick from the European Committee. So.